Blog Talk Radio.
Stereotypical view of what I'm about. I'm coming inside and out.
secret society killer coming to skull fuck you. Evil eye on me, watching will never stop nothing. I'm in my grow room medicating and clock cutting. Had to drop something, how about a hate ahead? Murder for sleeping on me, and then I'll wake the dead.
With my style, I'm underground, wicked, wild, wild.
With the West Side 303 monster, suicide bomber, breathing fire on ya, ready to explode, blood all over everything. Act murder boys, motherfucker, and I'll never change. Garcia gang, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, that's hit P.E.D. Gap and the Axe Murder Boys. Now what, motherfucker?
That joint was a bomb. That was like some garage funk, because it wasn't like smooth and sweet like some Parliament Funkadelic, but for some white boys playing funk, it's pretty nice. No, I'm just kidding, because obviously our new drummer, Jeremiah, a.k.a. Trauma, he's not white, but he knows a lot about playing real funk drums. And Mark, that white boy, obviously been studying some Bootsy, so he was throwing it down if you heard some of those bass riffs. And Jackson, well, he looks white, but I hear he's got some Mexican in him, you know, the so-called Mexican, which is really another name for, 100 different tribes of Indians, indigenous people of this continent. Could be Mayan, could be Aztec, could be Toltec. Did I say that right? Anyway, don't get me started, but that was some shit right there.
Hey, we're back. What up, ghetto?
Excuse me, sir, but do you have any great poupon?
No, I do not.
Well, what fucking good are you?
Obviously not very good, because I can't stand great poupon.
And you call yourself a radio host.
Great poupon is just nasty shit. That's just nasty. It's supposed to be mustard, but it's not even real mustard.
Yeah, mustard is pretty gross.
Well, depends on what kind.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I like regular yellow mustard that you can put on fucking hot dogs. But the Grey Poupon shit, no, fuck out of here.
You just don't like it because it's not yellow? Is that what you're telling me?
Plus it doesn't taste like mustard.
What does it taste like?
Crap.
Crap. So you know what crap tastes like.
Yes.
And why do you know what crap tastes like?
Because I've eaten Grey Poupon before, and it was absolutely horrible.
That's not what you wanted to say.
So, are you ready for Bloody Mania 7?
No.
Well, why not?
Because I haven't seen the last 6.
Hey, here you go, man. Fucking even though we're not in Australia. Live in Australia, December 4th to the 8th. Boondocks, ICP, and Big Hoodoo.
Yeah, I'm going to that one.
But how about the fact that they still have fucking merchandise for Twisted up on Hatchet Gear.
Well, yeah, man. They're still going to make money off of them. They earn the They own the rights to their shit still. That shit, anyways.
Yeah. Let's see, what do they have for Xmas?
Waterman. Yeah, fuck that. Let's check out fucking hoodies. I can use some more hoodies to add to my fucking collection.
Man, I got a bunch of hoodies I don't even fucking wear.
Well, if I decide I want to spend $65 or $75 on a fucking hoodie, I'll go to Hatchet Gear.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for a hoodie.
Yeah, no, right? Like, what the fuck? I can go to Walmart. I can go to Walmart and get a fucking hoodie for like $15.
And all it is just a hoodie with a hatchet man on it.
Well, these ones are ICP, Riddle Box, Hollow Wicked, ABK, Boondocks, Hatchet Man, well, Psychopathic Riders, Hatchet Man.
Yeah.
Oh, they got more. Let's see the entire page. Oh, it's better than, you know, see all of them instead of having to go through, you know, five pages. Let's see. ICP box hoodie.
Box hoodie? What?
Yeah, that's what it says. ICP box.
What the fuck does that mean? There you go. You can go buy this Holiday Heat CD for $10 off of Hatchet Gear, which they gave out for free a couple years ago.
Ah, that's what it means. It's just, all it is just like the Riddle box itself. And I guess your head is the Riddle box.
My head is the Riddle box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll show you it.
Well, the joke's on you then.
Facebook.com.
Oh, I thought that was a Jewish store.
The fuck you looking at?
And one of them shirts I got on here, except it's the a sheriff badge.
Let's see what else they have. They have ICP with clowns, red and blue. Well, it's good to know that they're representing for the Bloods and Crips. let's see.
Yeah, dude, that hoodie's pretty weak.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like, you see that shit, like, it's like you become the Riddle Box.
It's like half of my jersey. Like, why would you do that? That just looks dumb.
Let's see what they got here. They got ICP star faces.
The sad thing about that is a lot of people are going to buy that.
Exactly.
Hey, look, Zug Island has a different t-shirt. How about that?
There we go. Ringmaster hoodie. And the actual Ringmaster, not just half. Unless that Riddle Box crap.
Yeah, they should have just stuck with the original design of that hoodie.
Yeah, you'd think that would, but nope. Oh, look. Cole 187.
That DJ Clay shirt's pretty fresh, though. Bloody-ass turntables and whatnot. of course, a fucking medium. Yeah, I'll squeeze into that.
Of course. A cold,
maybe
cold
like,
rain,
cold maybe rain like 20 years ago.
Here we go. If I had a catch a claw, Cody, I'd rock that. But the fact that, they still have cold break set up on here for items, just stupid.
No,
I mean, come on. I mean, come on. You get rid of,
does anybody really buy them?
I don't know. All I know is they got rid of him, so they should have got rid of the merchandise, too.
Well, yeah.
Man, how about that, man? Fucking $45 or $45 just for some fucking sweatpants.
Damn. Hey, look, I got my size in that shirt that you don't like. The Real American Killer shirt.
Yeah, well, I don't think I ever said anything like that one.
Yeah, you said it's a ripoff of G.I. Joe and you don't like it.
Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, yeah, because it is. It's
well,
a ripoff of G.I. Joe.
I don't think anybody would ever got that, Havoc.
David Adam. Why the fuck are you inviting me to shit, and why the fuck is it your middle name is Casey?
Okay, then.
Yeah, our boy Adam Fasano, his middle name is Casey, apparently.
And why do you know that?
It's showing up on my fucking thing. Said, Adam Casey Fadani, yeah, Fadani. Fasano.
Fadani.
And three other people have invited you to like pages.
Yeah, well, you always pop up on the side with like pages you fucking invited me to that I never like.
Let's see, this one I don't really care about. Rip Brian Griffin from My Family Guy. Don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He's dead. He ain't coming back.
Ever since that happened, man, people have been going wild.
Yeah, I know. People are fucking pissed off about it.
Like, do we really need all these like pages just because of that?
Nope. I should start some shit with people. Saying,
just because a cartoon character died?
But... Yeah, they're always overpriced on shit, too.
No, it's not that. It's just that their designs, man. It's the same old bullshit.
Well, yeah, that too. But still, we're getting overpriced. I think one of
us. It's not overpriced. It's only $20 for a t-shirt.
Yeah, like $45 for a fucking pair of sweatpants?
Well, then there's things like that. That I never buy.
$65 or even $75 for fucking hoodies?
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Exactly.
I mean, for fuck's sake, man, I don't even buy anything off of, like, Strange Music unless they got, like, 50% off. Like, because at that show, man, this dude came up, he's like, man, I think I have that same exact shirt you're wearing right now. No. I was like, yeah, man, I only got this for $13, man. It'd be a lot better than they charge $27 for a t-shirt. He's like, I just ordered something off of there. I got that 50% off shit. I was like, oh, you did that now, man. I did that, like, last year or whenever that was. earlier this year?
Let's see here. $55 for a fucking long sleeve work shirt from them? $50? Come on. Like, really? Like, you get overpriced on, you're gonna put that much money on a shirt. Let's see, let's look at the jackets. You know, the jackets are probably gonna be the same. Yep, $150 for a fucking for a jacket.
Damn.
Let's see, for the ICP Cloister logo work jacket, charcoal, it's $150.
There you go. You can buy this T-shirt. It says Psychopathic Records, and it got a bunch of TVs with the artist on it. Except Twist is there, but they're no longer there.
How much is that?
$20.
Yeah, that's not bad. But like, once I start, you know, putting like $55 on a fucking jacket, $45 on a jacket, even $150 on a jacket, come on.
Wasn't it a leather jacket?
These ones are not leather. It's a cloister. It's like a work jacket. And they've got an ICP Riddlebox team jacket for $150. And there's a jacket that nobody wants in their life. The Mighty Death Pop coach jacket for $45. I don't think anybody's gonna want that shit ever in their life.
You buy these Twisted shirts that say Psychopathic Records on. It just doesn't make any sense now.
My question is, do you think these fucking gift certificates would actually work? I mean, instead of the fact, you know, have time that they fucking coupons from that fucking slot shit, that shit that didn't work half the time.
Yeah, it'll probably work for about a month. If you don't use it within a month, it'll probably be gone.
Exactly. You know, I think I'll probably get a couple of these hoodies.
You were just bitching about how much they were, and now I'm going to buy a couple of them.
Well, I mean, like, you know, after Christmas.
Why not now?
Because in that way, you know, like in January, I'll have my income tax.
Sick.
I mean, let's see, I'm going to be buying me a fucking desktop anyways. For $700.
Okay.
That's worth it. Fucking Alienware. Definitely worth it.
I get a lot more posters now, apparently.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think it's funny they put up the Blacklight posters, but then for $15. But then I scored it on a Juggalo day for $7.50.
Exactly. But hey, I guess whatever. They like to fuck around with the prices a lot.
I wouldn't mind having one of these Hollow Wicked posters or whatnot.
So, did you watch that
That show, that movie with The Miz?
No.
Yeah, we're supposed to be on.
I watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The fuck?
Why are you acting like you don't know what that is?
I know what that is. I'm just saying, what the fuck?
What, you don't like Christmas movies?
Some. I'm just not a big fan of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
But why the fuck not?
That just... not...
Yeah, you ain't got no reason. Why you hating?
Yeah, I have no reason, but... I don't even know what to say about that sometimes. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Somebody's been drinking her haterade tonight.
Well, consider that I've been dealing with a bunch of fucking retards tonight, a.k.a. Spanish people. Yay for the retards. I mean, technically, being Mexican is technically a form of retardation.
I guess.
I mean, especially, you know, I mean, the ones that can actually speak English, they're fine. The ones that don't, that fucking don't know a lick of English, yeah, that's the retardation right there. So they come up to you fucking and expecting for you to just know fucking Spanish. Like, bitch, I don't speak your language. Get the fuck out.
Well, why the fuck not?
Because we're in America. We don't need to know Spanish. They need to know English.
Man, that's weird that at that one show Zug Island was on, I bought a shirt of theirs, and you don't ever see this shirt for sale anywhere.
Yeah.
Thought it'd be at least on Hatchiker, but no.
Nice hat.
Nice what?
Hot cup of coffee. Now, I'm going to go on the track and I'm going to go get wet.
Excuse me?
I said, I'm going to
play. Just press play. I don't, no, just press play.
In other words, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette in the rain. Let's see, let's go with a track. Let's go with Pretty Little Creep Show.
Beautiful wrong, my favorite mistake. My dirty face angel with razor blade wings. She sings me to sleep, 80s lullaby, la la la. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Black rose, black dress, picturesque, click click. Photogenic, me or more, I'm obsessed, sick sick. Love the way we kill time, tick tick. Touch me, breathe on my insecurities, make them love me. God, I love it when you say you want me. Kills me, calms me, every piece of you is a part of me. Oh, you're so sexy when you wake up, that's when you're the prettiest. Messy hair, no makeup, gotta feed my appetite. Eat your heart, scrape the plate, kiss you like a vampire. Savage light, angel cake, take a bite, love the taste. Misery loves company, and I know she's far from perfect, but she's perfectly in love with me.
And she's so fucking special. You're a creep, and you're so fucking special. frail, thin, frail, slim, Sin City, Pretty Little Lady song.
So take these broken wings and learn to fly again.
She's my red hot chili pepper, suck my kiss, cut my wrist, fall asleep beside me so I could hear your heart pump blood like an IV. Bind me, treat me like a hostage, confine me, trap me, wrap me in bondage kindly. I love the way she acts, so Canadian, but when the door shuts, she's my little Janet Jameson, my sexy Tasmanian devil in Victoria, secret little China doll, my evil Longoria. I'm falling, falling, catch me, grab me by the waist and Gina Karami, and treat me like a zombie, I'm your kamikaze, crashing through your body, naughty, fuck, I love the way you taste, cinnamon and gasoline, she's a perfect twist of love
she's
and hate.
She's a creep, and she's so fucking special. You're a creep and you're so fucking special. She's a creep and she's so fucking special.
Here a minute. Give me a second. Like, it's fucking freezing outside, and like, no fucking lie. Alright. I'll play for y'all niggas. Since it's just me now, let's go to a story from Jump Steady.
Let's go with it.
The Witch Haunt.
The Witch Haunt.
At Everybody emits a certain energy about them. Now, whether this stems from their spirit or their soul or whatever you want to call it, everybody has an energy that you can feel, or that most people can feel. Like, some people, they're not as attuned to others. For me, I always felt like I could tell a lot about a person just by being close to them. By being in proximity to them, I could kind of feel what kind of energy they were emitting. Now, sometimes this energy is like, would make me uncomfortable. Like, you know, you ever meet somebody and the first time, you know, right away, you don't even like them before they even say anything. You can just kind of get a sense for them that there's something wrong or foul about that person. And then sure enough, as soon as they start talking, you suddenly realize why you felt that way. It's apparent because, yeah, that person is off, or that person is evil, or that person is corrupted. Now, some people, they even have the ability to see auras. Now, I've never been able to see an aura, but when they look at a person, they can kind of see certain colors that only that they can perceive, you know, with their psychic abilities or whatever you want to call it. Now, throughout my life, I've only encountered maybe two times that I've sensed something in somebody so evil that it made me afraid. One time that this happened was when I was just driving down the road. Now, normally when I sense somebody's aura, you know, it has to be like several feet away. Like, I have to be close to the person, at least in the same room with the person. Anyway, we were driving down this road this one day. I was with a group of my friends. I was in the passenger seat when there was this feeling of immense evil coming from this car in front of us, probably in front of us about like 30 feet, and it was in the right lane. And I was just drawn to it. Like, I looked at it and I was like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, it was just emanating this intense evil and corruption. You know, and as we started getting closer to it, like, I didn't know what to tell my friends because I didn't want to freak them out or whatever, like I'm crazy. But it intensified as I got closer to this car because it was slowing down in the right-hand lane and we were catching up to it. So finally I was like, I just said it, man. I was like, man, there's something fucking crazy evil in that car right there. I was like, just keep going, man. Just keep going. Like, don't slow down. You know what I mean? So as we passed it, I couldn't help but look over, and it was just an old man, like from the outside. You know, if somebody was looking at him, he just looked like a normal person. But to me, like, I could perceive and feel this, like, evil just emanating from him. And it was then that I realized that not only are there corrupt souls on this planet, but I believe that there's demons as well. Or perhaps people that are so corrupted in their spirit that they have manifested into demons or are host to demons. Now, this one time, I had a direct contact with an actual demon, and I'll never forget it, and it was the most horrifying moment in my entire life, like my most horrifying moment that I've ever experienced. So I was laying in bed one night sleeping, and I was probably about 14 years old or so, maybe 15, and I woke with my face in the pillow. Okay, so I was suffocating. Like, that's how I woke up. Like, I woke up because I was dying. And when I woke up, not only was I suffocating, but I was completely and utterly paralyzed. I could not move. So I was laying there, face down, suffocating. And that was not the most horrifying feeling that I was having, the fact that I was suffocating or paralyzed. It was the fact that I felt this presence that was in the room. It was behind me and off to the right, something standing there right beside my bed. And even though I couldn't see it, I clearly felt it and knew it was there. And it was causing me this paralysis. It was causing this to happen. Like, it completely had dominion over my body, my physical body, and I could not move. And all I could think about was getting away from this being, this entity that was there in the room. All I wanted to do was get away from that. And the fact that I was dying was secondary to the fact that I wanted to get outside of the presence of this evil force that was there in the room. So my mind was completely in panic. I was completely and utterly terrified. I could barely think, but somehow in all the anarchy of all the emotions that were flooding through me and the complete terror, I realized that if I could just move one of my fingers, if I could just concentrate and focus on one of the fingers of my body and move that one finger, then somehow I knew that that would allow me to somehow escape. And so I concentrated all my efforts, and I was screaming in my mind. You know what I mean? Like, I was fucking completely panicked. But somehow I was able to concentrate enough to move one finger. And then as soon as I moved that one finger, I was actually tapping in along the side of my bed. All of a sudden, I could move my entire arm. And the next thing I know, I just sprung out of bed. And when I sprung out of bed, I fucking ran out of that room, you know, as fast as I could. And I don't remember much what happened after that. I just remember I wouldn't go back into that room for like weeks, you know. I was completely terrified that that was going to happen again. Now, fast forward a couple years, you know, I'm actually, you know, went through basic training and AIT. And, you know, we're going through our advanced individual training. Now, there was this guy in our unit, and I remember his name. His name was Cottrell. Cottrell was the only other time that I can remember sensing a demonic form in an actual person, okay? This guy, he looked like, he almost had like frog-like features. Like his face, his mouth was so wide. It was almost like lizard-like or something. And he moved so slow. It was weird. Like, it wasn't just the fact that he had a sense of evil. He had a look about him, too, that was just something was off about him. Anyway, I sensed this evil in him. You know, it just really made me uncomfortable. Like, just being around him, it was like this. It wasn't as strong as the man in the car. It wasn't as strong as that. And it definitely wasn't as strong as the entity that was in my room. But it was definitely something that made me uncomfortable, and I tried to avoid him. Anyway, when we were going through our advanced individual training, we had an instructor. His name was Sergeant Todd. Now, this guy, this instructor was a waste. You know, he didn't do anything. All he did was sat. He didn't try to teach us nothing. He was just like, look, do whatever the fuck you want to do. You guys are all passing. This is what the guy told us. Do whatever you want to do. You guys are all passing. You know, just, you know, I'm going to be sitting here chilling. So Cottrell decided that he wanted to collect money to get Sergeant Todd a plaque to, you know, reward him for, like, his teaching us or whatever. And so he was collecting money from everybody, and I said, nah, man, I ain't contributing to that. Fuck that, you know. And so he looked at me, and he was like, what do you mean you're not contributing? I was like, why would I give money for a plaque for someone that just sat on their ass the whole time, didn't teach me shit? He was like, you for real? You're not going to give money? You know, he started getting like he was trying to boss up. I said, yeah, man, I'm not giving no money. That's it. That's fine. And I walked off. All right. Now, in the day room where we slept, you know, it was a giant room, like 50 people in there, bunk beds, all that. There was this group that went around at night, and they were called the Rat Pack. So if somebody had a problem with them, or they considered somebody to be trouble, they would catch them in the middle of the night and beat them with these bars of soap, right? And, you know, nobody was ever, like, seriously fucked up, but, you know, it'd fuck you up a little bit. You know, people would be all bruised up the next day and fucking pissed off and whatever else, right? So anyway, I'm going to sleep one night, and all of a sudden, the Rat Pack is completely surrounding my bunk. Now, I slept on the top bunk, and I look down, and there's Cottrell standing in front of them, and there was probably about like 12 of them, and he's like, yeah, that's the one. He's the one that said the Rat Pack ain't shit. He's the one. So all of a sudden, the leader of the Rat Pack, I don't remember his name, but he came up to me, and he was like, you talking shit about the Rat Pack? So I jumped down off my bunk, right? Now, I've been in these situations before where you're completely outnumbered, and it's always the same effect. Like, something happens to me where I suddenly lose all fear. Like, when I realize that there's no possible chance of me winning a situation, like, in a physical confrontation like that, it always happens. Like, I just lose entire fear. It just totally evaporates. Like, I already know I'm going to fucking get my ass beat, so fuck it. So I jumped down and I talked to the guy and I said, hey, man. I was like, no, I ain't. I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't have shit against the Rat Pack. This motherfucker's pulling your strings. I have a beef with this motherfucker. And I was like, Katruff, you want to go one-on-one, we'll go right now. So he looked at me and he was all like fucking crazy, like upset and just like eyes all fucking, you know, on fire and shit. So then all of a sudden he just like backed up in his slow motion was way and he fucking disappeared, right? So I was like, all right, straight. So anyway, some time passes. I complete AIT and I'm actually asleep in my bunk. Now I'm at St. Croix, the Virgin Islands. There was a hurricane that hit through there, Hurricane Hugo. And we were down there for a hurricane relief effort, you know, in the Army. And we're sleeping in these tents, and they got the mosquito netting and all that. This was the second time that I experienced the paralyzation effect. This time, I woke up. It was at night, and I was face up, lying on my back. And I hear this noise. And I'm looking around, and I'm completely terrified because I cannot move. You know, the same effect, just completely paralyzed, but I can move my eyes, and I'm looking around, and I hear this noise, and suddenly I realize it's Cottrell. And he's coming up to my bunk, and he's moving the curtains aside, and he comes and stands over me, and he's looking down at me. And it sounds like he's hissing. It's the only way to describe it. It's like this real guttural kind of, like, almost like a hissing, like, sound. And he looks over me with his eyes, and he's, like, looking at me, and I realize that he's smiling. And I just sat there, like, completely paralyzed, wondering, like, what he's going to do, and he didn't do anything. He just stood back, and he faded back. And the next thing I know, I could move again. All right. So when that happened, I jetted out of the fucking tent. You know what I mean? And that was it. You know, I didn't realize, like, I had no idea what it all meant. You know, I didn't confront him about it afterwards. I wasn't, like, afraid of him. But it was the second time that that happened. And it made me to believe he could have possibly been a demon himself. The thing with the paralyzation is I did research on it later, and I found out that I read the sleep book, this entire book about sleep, and there was a small paragraph in it that's about people waking up paralyzed with extreme anxiety, and it was just like one sentence, you know, and it said something about it's a rare occurrence, but it happens to people all throughout the entire world. So then I read this other book. And this book covered supernatural phenomena and monsters and stuff like that. And in the very beginning of the book, there was this write-up by the author of the book talking about this phenomena. And he was using it as proof that supernatural horrors in this world exist. Because he was saying that this phenomena of people waking up paralyzed with extreme anxiety and, you know, even feeling like a demonic force, like feeling as if there's a demonic force near them or in the room or even seeing things, has been reported around the world since the beginning of recorded history. When I read that, there was like almost like a wash of relief because I felt like I wasn't the only one. Like, this is something that, I don't know, it might not make sense, but just knowing that others have experienced this, you know, there's people that can relate to what I've been through, and it brought me a great bit of relief. Also, he gave it a name. It was called the Witch Haunt. 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 The Witch Haunt.
And we're back. What up, ghetto?
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, and long. But it's worth it.
like I said, it's worth it.
I guess so. I still don't know what happened to the end of the other story.
Which one?
The 30-minute long one.
Well, I mean, if you really want to know what happens at the end of it.
No, I really don't want to listen to it right now. I'm just saying that one you played now, man, I heard that story twice now.
Oh, I mean, you know what? That's Jumpsy's fault.
How's that his fault?
Because he didn't put enough stories up on the other, up on that disc.
He put a bunch of stories. He probably should have just shortened them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he only put like 5 fucking stories on that shit. Like, either 21 minutes long, 13 minutes long, 14 minutes long, or 31 minutes long.
He should have made short stories, not fucking long-ass ones.
or at least made them all like 10 minutes long, so then that way, you know, he could have fit more, like, you know, the fucking rope.
That's the reason he could have fit like 5 songs, or tracks, whatever the fuck. Not really songs.
No, they're like 12 tales from Dumpster's life.
Yeah, there's sometimes it just sounds like he's making things up. But then other times it sounds kind of real.
Yeah. Like the whole fucking them being chased by fucking monks in the middle of nowhere.
What story was that?
That's a part of the road.
And where did that story take place?
I guess in Michigan, maybe?
We pulled this off, but we made googies.
Are there monks in Michigan?
I guess so.
I think I saw maybe one monk around here, like, once in my life.
Now, my question is, did he go around shooting people with fucking rock salt from fucking shotguns?
No, he was shopping in the mall.
Well, apparently, Jumpsy's bunk fucking shoot people with shotguns filled with rock salt and some and shit like that. And here we thought monks were supposed to be peaceful. Nope.
They are supposed to be peaceful.
Well, apparently somebody didn't tell these monks. You know what? Fuck it. Let's go with the road, just so that way you can hear all about the monks chasing people and trying to kill people.
The road. The greatest adventure that I've ever been on involved a road, but not just any road, the road. Some of y'all have read about it in ICP's autobiography, Behind the Paint. Now this road, when we were growing up, it was the stuff of legend. Kids talked about it from as far back as I can remember, and there was rumors that abounded about the road. Some said there was an insane asylum on it. Others said that it was impossible to drive all the way through it and survive. And others, I remember one of the tales was this guy was driving down the road and he basically pretended his car broke down to spook his girlfriend. And then these lunatics dragged him out of the car and killed him. Those were the kind of legends that as a child, they just sparked my interest to no end. And I vowed then and there that at some point I would encounter and defeat the road. As the years passed, I basically kind of forgot about it altogether until I was about 17 years old. One day my friend Matt Hapton came up to me and he was all crazy excited and he was like, "Rob, you gotta check this out. Last night
we went down this crazy ass road. It had an insane asylum on it. It had a cemetery. It was fucking wicked as fuck. He was like, you gotta check it out. So I was like, oh, hell no. And all of a sudden, all those stories came up from my childhood, and I started remembering all the stories about the road, and I was like, could this be it? I was like, no way. So I was like, all right, check this out. We got to go down there. It's time for a ninja mission. We're going to walk that bitch.
Walk that bitch. Walk that bitch.
So we set the date, and of course, it couldn't be anything other than October 30th at midnight, Devil's Night. So we gathered the strongest warriors that we knew at the time from our crew. People that we knew would be a super asset to help us survive. So we gathered my brother Joe.
Right here.
Joe Usler.
Yep.
Steve Lindholm.
What up?
My boy Don Lichtel.
Ta-da!
Jen Symington.
Here.
And Nate the motherfucking Mac.
Yeah.
Now, we decided that we would each bring one weapon, you know, with us. So, you know, people brought everything from a moose bone to bow and arrows. You know what I mean? So we were, like, ready. Of course, I had the staff, which is my weapon of choice. We had about a month to prepare for the road. So the whole time we were in school, that's all we could fucking talk about. It was like whoever would listen to us, we were telling them about the road and what we were going to do, how we were going to freak it. And finally, these two kids approached me, and they were claiming that they had been to the road. And I was like, you know, at first I was skeptical, but then when they started describing it, there was way too many similarities. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that they had been there. And they told me there was a monastery on the road full of monks. And the monks there, they don't like anybody to go there to fuck around. Anybody that comes around their property, they'll attack them. And they have shotguns that shoot rock salt. So they told us the story about him and his boy, you know, were down there fucking around. And they seen the monk monastery, so they pulled their truck over and got out, and they started walking toward it to investigate. Suddenly, they said they heard this whistling, because the monks, they took a vow of silence, so they can't talk, so they communicate by whistling. And they said they heard whistling, and then shortly after that, they heard the shattering of glass coming from their truck. So they ran back there to check it out, and that's when they got blasted by rock salt from a shotgun by these monks, and then they got beat the fuck down. So they were so enraged, they said that, man, they were like super pissed off, and they continued the story. They actually went back, found one of the monks' vehicles and trashed it and flipped it and all this other shit. Anyway, we were like, man, we were like, that only intensified the situation. You know, most logical people would be like, oh, fuck that, I ain't gonna fuck with that. We were like, oh, that's awesome.
Awesome.
You
know, awesome.
You tell
awesome.
Me there's fucking these evil monks like patrolling the road and shit. We were like, man, that just made it all the hyper. It was like living up to the legend, you know. So anyway, it finally came to Devil's Night, and we all piled up in the 69 Oldsmobile, this big ass fucking car with a V8 rocket engine, and we rode down there to the mouth of the road. Now, when we got there, we pulled into the woods, and we camouflaged the car. We basically took all this foliage and we piled it on top of the car so that, you know, nobody could see it or find the car. And then we stood there at the mouth of the road. Now, all of us were totally camouflaged the fuck out, even the face paint. And we all had weapons, and we were in full ninja mode, and the adrenaline was just surging. It was midnight, and it was completely dark, and we're just looking down at this long-ass fucking tunnel that's before us, just immense in darkness, and the wind is shifting, and you hear, like, loons in the fucking woods and these weird animals and shit. And, you know, being from the city, we're not used to that, so we're looking around like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? And but we were ready. We were fucking more than ready. I think our whole lives we were ready for this moment. So we started walking into the woods. Now, the first thing that happened to us on the road was we heard a CB going off. So when we heard the CB crackling, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there's like a lookout or a caretaker, you know, basically watching the road for like people like us that are out there like fucking around. So we ran into the cemetery. And I remember, like, the first thing I did was, like, we all kind of slid behind gravestones, and we sat there, and we were, like, completely still and silent. And we looked around and we were like, all right, look, check this out. I was telling everybody, we're just going to wait here. We're going to wait here until we see if the cops come or whatever. And we're not going to fucking move. Because we were like way deep in the cemetery. And I couldn't help but look over at the tomb that was the catacombs that was sitting in the middle of the cemetery. It's this big foreboding building. And I remember the story my mom told me about how she used to go there as a kid and knock on that door. And, you know, there, it was rumored they wouldn't survive if they did that. Anyway, probably about 10 minutes passed, but it seemed like 3 hours as we sat there waiting. And nothing happened. No car came, no nothing. So finally we were like, all right, come on, let's go. Now, walking the road is much, much different than driving it. It's, you just feel unsafe. You feel exposed to all the elements, and like anything can happen at any time. And the woods are so dense and so dark that it's as if, like, if somebody was hiding in the woods, they could just reach your arm out and grab you. Like, you would never see them coming. So the whole time you're like looking constantly back and forth, you know, over your shoulder, like expecting anything to jump out at you at any time. So you're like, needless to say, we were gripping our weapons super tight, like white knuckle tight, as we proceeded forth because we are super cautious. Now, the next thing that we came upon was the insane asylum. It was actually lit up. There was lights shining at various points throughout the woods. Like, they were probably about, let's say, 50 feet apart. And so there was this fence that ran along the road on the left side that housed the insane asylum grounds. And then on the other side of that fence were all these lights just in the middle of fucking woods, you know? So we came upon this conclusion, I don't know if it was justified or not, that it was probably an insane lunatic had escaped. You know what I mean? And that's why they had it lit up, because they were looking for his ass. So that, compiled with all the rumors from the past, got us really amped up, so we quickened our pace to get past the insane asylum, expecting any moment for an insane lunatic to jump out at us. We crossed past the insane asylum. Luckily, nothing happened. So then, the next thing we saw was what can only be described as an old, ancient World War II bunker. It was shaped like curved, like a big curved building. And it must have been a part of a farmland, because there was a barbed wire fence that ran in front of it and bales of hay stacked up on the side of it, like a big hay pile. But it was so dark we couldn't see any houses or a farmhouse or anything. It was just this old ancient building, a structure. So I said, look, I'm going to check it out. You know, I told everybody I'm going to check it out. They're like, all right. So I hopped over the fence and I started walking toward it. And that's when something huge moved in the darkness. And I looked up. I was like, my mind started flipping because I couldn't understand what I was seeing. But it was this giant form suddenly moved to face me. And I'd seen its eyes glistening in the darkness. And it was huge. So I looked at it, and then my mind started registering what it was, and I screamed out, "Bull!" as loud as I could, because all I saw was these fucking horns. So I thought the thing was about to charge me. It was this giant fucking beast in the middle of the woods in the darkness, you know, just in this, like, by this building, and I thought it was about to rush me, so I started running, and I flipped over the fence like, I don't even know how I did it. It was like a ninja flip. Like, my adrenaline was going so fast, I was just like, pa, and I was over that fence. Anyway, we started looking to try to see what the fuck it was, and it ended up, it was a fucking cow. Now, I didn't know this, but, you know, being from the city and stuff, but, like, some cows have, like, these small horns on their head, you know? So once I determined it was safe, I kind of went over the fence again. And then the cow was, like, moving slowly away from me. That's when I started hearing all the moo sounds coming from all the cows that were packed in the infantry-style building that they're in. So I got real close to it and looked in, and it looked like there was, like, 100 of these cows just all packed in there. I mean, maybe that's an exaggeration, but there was a lot of fucking cows just packed in there. So I went back to my crew, and I said, look, test the bravery. If we're going to survive the road, if we're going to be able to continue this mission, We have to fucking test ourselves right now. We each have to walk through that barn. So they were like, all right, bet. So we all hopped the fence. We went up to the fucking, the structure. And we started to slowly walk through in the dark, packed with cows. Now, it's no easy task because, like, as we were moving through, we started disturbing the cows. And they all started, like, moving around to try to get out the building. So as we're, like, walking, you're kind of getting battered by these giant bodies that are moving in the complete darkness. And we didn't have no light. That's another thing I wanted to mention. The whole time of the road, it was a strictly no light policy. We didn't have flashlights. We didn't have nothing. We were in straight up ninja mode. Like, we didn't want to give ourselves away. So we're, like, walking through this barn, and these cows are shifting, and we're, like, sinking in shit and mud. And it was crazy. So finally, the cows all strung out into the field, and we were, like, they were mooing, like, real fucking loud, causing a big commotion. And, and basically spanning out, like, try to imagine, like, 100 cows all fanning out into the field, and they're all mooing. And you know, just like getting as live as cows can get. Suddenly we seen this light come on from a far distance. When the light came out, we could see the porch. And out of the porch, we see this door open. And this man steps out onto the porch with a shotgun. We were like, oh, fuck. Let's get the fuck out of here. And we all start running. And we were like, come on, we got to get over the fence. Now, in the darkness, running, I didn't see the barbed wire. Like, I couldn't gauge where exactly it was at, and I ran smack into that bitch, and I caught one of the barbs, like, right between my eyes, like, just at the apex of my nose, and it just, bam, like, I saw, like, this sharp, like, white light for a second, and next thing I know, there was blood dripping down my nose in my face, and I saw, like, one of my other boys, he started up the pile of hay, and all of a sudden, he just sunk right in the middle of the hay. Boom, he just disappeared, you know, just like a soft spot in the top of the hay, and he was just disappeared. So at this time, everybody's kind of, like, panicking, and eventually, we made it all over the barbed wire fence, and we ran down the road for quite a bit. We finally got off to the side of the road, and we started catching our breath, and at that point, people wanted to go back. They were like, man, fuck this, you know, this is too much, you know. So I remember it was at that moment where my brother stepped up and he basically gave this really elaborate speech, you know, like a super motivational speech, you know, no, you know, this is our time. Why are we going to go back now? We have to fucking school this and survive this. And you know, you knew there was going to be dangers. You know, what did you think? This is going to be easy? This is what a test of a ninja is all about. Surviving this road, like right now, right here. You know what I mean? You're just going to go back and fail? And he was just like, fuck that. And he was just getting all worked up. So when he gave that speech, everybody kind of like, it kind of inspired everybody again, you know, like my brother was always real good at that, like hyping people up, like, you know what I mean? So, you know, of course I stood by him, you know what I mean? They're like, man, you're all fucked up. You're bleeding from your nose and shit. And I was like, man, this ain't shit. You know, there was no way, no question. There's no way I was going back. So we continued further down the road. We traveled about a mile or so more down the road. And we were coming across this bend in the road, and that's when we heard it. It started really far away off in the distance, almost like outside of your hearing range. And it sounded almost ghostly, and it was a whistle. And when we heard that, we all stopped. And in the back of our minds, we're like, did we just hear that? And then all of a sudden, closer, like that whistle was like off to the left. And all of a sudden, off to the right and closer, we heard a repeat whistle. And when we heard that, I swear to you, the blood in my body just froze. And it was at that moment when I realized all the rumors about the road were true. To me, everything that was spoken was true. and we were being hunted. That's what I realized next. That those whistles, and they kept repeating on each side of us from all angles, were the monks in the road, and they knew we were there, and they were actively hunting us. So I remember I looked at Don and I was like, you know, my mind, like being a role player, like sometimes I can shut off fear and like think. I can kind of step outside of myself. And I looked at Don and I said, Don, man, repeat that whistle, you know, so they think we're one of them. You know what I mean? And so Don went up there and he did some kind of bullshit whistle. It sounded nothing like what they were doing. And so when he did that whistle, all the whistling stopped. And there was complete silence, save for our heavy breathing and the crickets. I told everybody, man, get your fucking weapons ready. You know, this is it. You know what I mean? We were ready. We felt like they were going to come busting out of the woods at any second. So we started to pick up our pace, you know what I mean, moving down the road. And that turned into like a jog. We started running. You know, I just gripped my staff extra tight, and we're running down this road, you know what I'm saying? And looking around, and just like, there's nothing, though. No whistling, no nothing, just silence. So we ran, I'm not even sure how long it was, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes, when we finally started slowing down. And when we looked behind us, all we saw was a wall of darkness, and we didn't hear any whistling. So we stopped and we were like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And we just really listened as close as we can. Now, it was at this time, as we stood there on the side of the road listening, that I looked over and through the trees, I saw a light emanating. So I looked at my boys and I was like, that's it. That's the fucking monk monastery. It's in the same area, like straight up. We're right on top of the monk monastery. We left the road and we started cutting through the woods. And we came upon a barbed wire fence. So we hopped that, went about 10 more feet, another barbed wire fence. So we all hopped that and we kept going real quiet as we possibly could be. And when we got close to the woods edge, we all dropped down and started low crawling all the way up to the edge of the woods. And we looked down. Now, the monk monastery, the stone building with the jagged edges, the jagged rooftops, was all lit up. And there was a clearing, like they had cut all the trees around it for about 100 feet in all directions. And it was in the middle of this field that kind of bowled down. So the monastery was at the base of this bowl type effect, like the land sloped down toward the middle. It's kind of as if a big meteor hit there and left a big crater. That's kind of how it was, but it was like grass. And it sloped down, and there in the middle was this stone monastery. Huge. And the tops of it were jagged points, and it had vines growing up the sides of it. And there was a gigantic window. It looked like a giant church window in front of it. And there was a little shed along the side of it. And so we looked down at this monk monastery, and as we watched, we can see through the giant picturesque window, there was some sort of ceremony going on. There was a monk in a brown robe, and there was a man in front of the window. And the man was standing there with his head bowed, as the monk looked like he was blessing him. And the man was just dressed in normal clothes, like jeans and a t-shirt. You know, but he was like kind of bowing there, and the monk wearing the full-on cowl with the hood was like blessing him. So we were like in awe as we watched this, and clearly they couldn't tell we were out there. I mean, we were like far away from where that was happening. The only reason we could see it is because inside the window were like hundreds of candles that were all lit. So we stood there and watched it for a while, and then finally the monk and the man left, and I told everybody, I said, test the bravery. And they're like, looking at me like, oh shit, not again. And I was like, look, everybody's got to go down and we got to at least touch the monastery. Like, if we don't do this, we're fucking straight up bitches. I was like, you got to do it. So they were like, all right, bet. So I started down the hill and I low crawled all the way down that bitch. Now, this is even before I joined the Army, but I'm going to tell you what, man, I was like the best low crawl you ever seen. You know, stay low to the ground, and it was sloped down, so it was pretty easy actually to slide down the hill. And I got all the way down to where the shed was, and I stopped and I looked, and I was listening to see if anybody was in there. And I didn't hear anything. So I kept low crawling all the way up to the building, and I touched it. And then I started hightailing it back. Now, as I was going up, I saw everybody else coming down. Like, when they seen, like, I had made it safely, everything was good, they all started running down. Like, not even trying to fucking front or low crawl or anything. And they just went all the way down to the base of the monastery. And I came back up to where, close to where the barbed wire fence was, in the same position. And I got down, and I was watching them. Now, these motherfuckers, man, they were running all the way around that bitch, looking in the windows and, you know, just like no fucking care at all. You know what I mean? I was like, oh shit, you know, what the fuck are they doing? So then after about a couple minutes of that, like just kind of like everybody going crazy, losing their mind, everybody started running back up. So when they got back to my location, they all kind of plopped down. They were out of breath and everything. I was like, whoa, what's going on, man? What are you guys doing? And everybody had a story. They're like, oh man, it's fucking crazy. I fucking looked in. I think it was Don. He was like, I looked in. I seen this fucking monk. He was walking down the fucking hallway butt-ass naked. I was like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, yeah, man. He had no clothes, just walking down the hallway. And then another guy was telling me, he looked in his window, and there was a bedroom, and there was a monk praying on the edge of the bed naked. So we like, get the fuck out of here, man. What are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, and everybody had all these stories, like monks walking with the brown robes on, the whole nine. So we were like, all right, man, let's get the fuck out of here, you know what I mean? So we started crossing. We crossed the one barbed wire fence. We crossed the second barbed wire fence. We got back to the road. We started walking, like, quickly. We were feeling a little bit better because we went all the way around that monastery. Like, it wasn't shit, and we didn't get attacked. Nothing happened. We hadn't heard the whistling, you know, in a long time now, so we're like, all right, we're fucking good. So we start crossing down the road, and all of a sudden, we started hearing these fucking shots. And as we hear the shots, you just hear, like, these pellets. Is the only way I can explain it. Like, these pellets ripping through the dense wood, like, popping off of tree trunks and splintering small branches and cutting through the leaves and shit. Like, it's just, it was weird. Like, it had this fucking crazy weird sound, and it sounded like it was coming from all around us. We just heard this popping and these shotguns going off. So as we heard that, I looked back and I said, run! As loud as I could, fucking run! And we started hauling ass because we couldn't even tell where it was coming from. And we just all started running as fast as we could, just like straight down the road, like the same direction we were headed, you know, just running. Now, as I ran, there was a small path that crossed across the road. It was like a four-way intersection. And as I ran past that, I looked off to my left as I was running. Now, this small path went down a ways, like maybe about 50 feet, and it opened into this clearing. And in the clearing, I saw about four or five pickup trucks in a circle on the edge of the clearing. And there, standing in the middle of the clearing, were these monks. A group of monks, all dark in the, you know, really dark in the darkness, like almost like silhouettes. And they're pointing guns at us as we're passing by and shooting. So the reality of that image of them standing there in the clearing, that will forever remain in my mind. Like, I will never forget that. It was one of the scariest moments of my life. And, you know, it just felt like we weren't going to make it. You know what I mean? I really felt like at that moment that we were done. And so we kept running. And my boy, Steve Lindholm, got hit in the leg. And he started screaming. I guess his momentum is the adrenaline was flowing so hard that he just kept fucking running. And we were trying to help him. We were like, come on, come on. And he was all in pain, and we just kept running. So we ran until we were almost out of breath, like completely exhausted. And that's when somebody yelled, car! And we looked back, and sure enough, coming down the road from the same direction we were running from, we saw a set of headlights that were coming at us. So we all ditched to the right side of the road, and we got deep into the woods, and we dropped down. And we were trying to be as still as we possibly could, even though we were all breathing heavy. And then I was looking, and sure enough, here come the pickup trucks. The same ones that were in the field, slowly creeping down the road as if they were looking for us. And as they passed one by one, you can see in the back window there were gun racks where their shotguns were nestled and their rifles were like nestled onto these racks in the back window of the cab of the pickup trucks. Now the amazing thing was right at this moment, I look over and there's Don Lichtel standing up, notching an arrow into his bow as he's watching these pickup trucks slowly pass by. Now, one thing I want to tell you about Don Lichtel, like I've seen this dude stand up. He's an Hawaiian dude. He stands about 5'6" tall, and I've seen him stand up against muscular 6'4" ninjas in high school, like talking mad shit, like ready to fight him. So he was standing there with his bow and arrow, and he's slowly pulling the bow back. And there at the tail end of the convoy of pickup trucks is one pickup truck that is just tailing behind, and it's a big gap between the rest of the convoy and them. It's moving slower than the rest of the trucks. So we're all standing there watching Don in awe when suddenly he comes right up to the side of the road and unleashes the arrow almost at point-blank range. Next thing we saw was the window just shatter as the arrow goes through and embeds itself into the passenger seat, narrowly missing the monk that was sitting there. The driver throws up his hands in panic, and the next thing we saw was the pickup truck swerve off to the side of the road and bam, hit a tree and come to a stop. Now, when that happened, there was a few moments where we're all kind of looking at each other. We're looking at the pickup truck, and all of a sudden, this rage just overtook us. And we all got up almost at once, and we started rushing the truck. Now, by the time we gained our wits and started rushing the truck, they had already opened the driver and the passenger door, and they started running through the woods. So we gave chase. Now, I didn't make it very far. We kind of split up because the two monks ran in two different directions. And one group was following the one guy. I was following the other guy. Next thing I know, I entered the woods, and I probably only made it like 5 or 10 feet when all of a sudden this branch just caught my eye, just like poked me right in the eye. So I was all in this pain. I kept running for a little while longer, and bam, I hit a bush or some shit, some underbrush, and it just totally knocked me off my feet. So as I lay there in pain, I'm like hearing this echoing of these voices deep in the woods. I hear my brother and my friends cursing out these monks, and I hear him shouting like, "Oh, he's over here, come on," and just shouts echoing through the woods, just mad chaos. So anyway, I found out later that they gave chase for a while, but nobody ever caught him. And it was kind of lucky that branch caught my eye, because if I would have been running after them, I probably would have caught them, because I was basically the best runner we had. And in a way, I'm really happy that I didn't catch them, you know, because if we would have caught them, it would have been real bad. So after the monks got away, we regrouped back onto the road, and we continued down the road for a few more miles. As we came to the end of the road, we started to see sparse houses start to appear, and we started to feel a sense of joy and safety as we emerged once again back into civilization. We had made it. We had survived and conquered the road. We traveled for a ways until we finally found a payphone where we called our boy to come pick us up, who took us back to our car. When we got there, we removed the camouflage to find a note was tucked underneath the windshield wiper. When we read it, it simply said, "If we would have found you, we would have killed you." We assumed, of course, that it was from the monks. It was their last message left to us, warning us to never come back. But we had survived, so it didn't matter at that point, because we went home with a notch in our belt that we had completed our ninja mission, the greatest ninja mission. And that was a moment that will forever remain in my mind as the greatest adventure that I believe I've ever been on and probably will ever be on in my life.
About that story.
It was a good story. Towards the end, I just stopped kind of listening. In and out. I don't know. I heard most of that before.
Yeah. Now this time you got to hear the ending of it.
Yeah, the part that you stopped it on was, I think it was before they were talking about all the whistling and shit.
Yeah. Now, if only we knew exactly where the road was. Like, you know, we could take a trip to fucking Michigan and go there and find the monks.
No, come on, man. What road is actually going to be that fucking dangerous? Like, really? You got a road that got killer monks on it? I don't know about all that.
I don't know.
I mean, shit, man. We went to haunted places before, but, like, never really saw anything.
Yeah.
Well, then again, man, you know, Michigan's supposed to be, like, you know, dangerous and whatnot, I guess you could say.
I guess so.
You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how to put that. Like, you know, gangs and shit.
I mean, I'm trying to find the fucking monastery that they were talking about, but I have no idea. Maybe it was like Buddhist.
Man, they didn't give you no names. You ain't gonna just find it.
That's exactly my point. I mean, you know, if we could find it, it'd be perfect.
Be interesting.
Yeah. We could kidnap Chris and, that's what, you know, and just fucking toss him out there.
Yeah. Death by rock salt.
No. Death by monks.
Well, that too. Now, what the hell, they left a note saying, if we would have found you. They did find him. They were chasing them, and then they were chasing them.
Exactly.
You were playing fucking it tag, but yeah, they said if they ever found you. I mean, well, they left a note, and they did find you.
Yeah, which is even funnier because like they found you, but yet. They didn't do shit about the car.
Yeah, really. Like, what the fuck? Like, if they were really that violent, man, they would have just destroyed the car.
Yeah. I guess they weren't that violent.
Or, like, blew the car up or something. Wow.
Oh, shit, but if we ever manage to get Jump City up on here for a fucking interview, maybe we could ask
Well, either we could either ask him, or if we ever get them up on here, Von J and Shaggy, we could ask them about the road.
Yeah.
Find out if it's true or not.
So how come this show ended at exactly 1 o'clock yesterday?
I have no idea. That was even weird. That was weird even to me, because I was outside smoking, and then all of a sudden, my phone cut out and started doing the fucking noise.
It was going into the third verse or whatever that song, and started making a weird ass noise. And then I said, "Thank you for using Block Talk." What the fuck?
Yeah, but I was like, "Why should they even do that? Why should just went
Yeah, and then I looked at the time, and it was exactly 1 o'clock. I was like, oh, okay, then.
Well, we'll find out if it happens again tonight. See what happens.
Did you not pay them or something?
No, I paid them. We're all paid up until December.
I don't understand why we don't get an extra hour now.
It's just funny because, like, we had an extra hour, like, fucking Saturday night.
Every night up till yesterday.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? So, we'll see what the fuck happens. If it does it again, then we know we don't get any more extra hours.
Man, I thought you just said showers. I was like, what? why would we have showers?
Exactly. How the fuck are we going to shower on the show?
I don't fucking know.
But man, I swear, you fucking people are stupid, though. No, I mean the fact that, you know, we had fucking customers come in tonight at work because of the fact, you know, they heard that there's going to be a little bit of snow, and they automatically think, oh no, we're going to be fucking buried alive in snow. We'll be stuck in our houses. Dumbasses.
Didn't even get that much snow. We got a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know,
if anything you have to worry about, it would be ice.
Yeah, but there again, you know, like I told my coworker, you know, I'm glad I'm a smoker because if you're a smoker, there ain't no way in hell you're ever going to be stuck inside a fucking house full of snow, with snow on the outside.
What?
I told my coworker, I mean, like I said, you know, as long as you're a smoker, you're never trapped. You'll never be trapped in your house with some snow. I mean, come on. We have a shitload of fucking lighters, and you know, and if you have
that you can't find.
Well, this time I have more. I found my black one, I found my red one, and I found my white one. And my Bob Marley one.
Saying you light your cigarette, and you put it somewhere, and you go back for it later. Where the fuck is my lighter?
But yeah, no, but, like, you know, like, I mean, like, as long as you have a good lighter, or matches, or fucking, like, Axe body spray or something like that, or cologne, or whatever. Fucking...
Did you just say cologne?
Yes.
What the fuck is cologne going to do? Make the snow smell good?
Well, think about it, man. Like, you know, like if you light, like, you light the lighter, and then fucking, you know, and just start spraying the fucking cologne or fucking body spray, like Axe or something like that, at the fucking snow, like, you're bound to fucking...
So you want to waste your cologne on melting snow or possibly just, you know, catching your fucking house on fire?
Yes.
Sounds like a great idea.
Well, like I said, I mean, like, if you're trapped, with, like, if you have snow, you know, trapping you in, like, you know, like, off one of your door and shit, just fucking take a lighter.
Oh, and not to mention when you melt it, it's going to become water and then go all in your fucking house.
Well, yeah. That's why you melt the back door.
See, that's why you do it at the back door?
Yeah.
Same fucking thing.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, you ain't gonna melt like the entire thing. Just not like, you know, like one tiny hole.
You gotta melt a lot, man. The fuck, if you're fucking barricaded in your fucking door.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's like, you know, like you get like a nice size hole into it to fucking get a shovel. All right,
man. I'm a surround your house with a whole bunch of snow, man, and you make a little hole, and we'll see if you get out.
Like I said, and that's also where the shovel comes in handy.
Oh yeah, you got a shovel in your house?
Yeah.
Who the fuck got shovels in their house, man? If anything, they're on somebody's porch or like a shed or something.
Not here. We keep our shovels inside. Mainly in the basement. Only for the simple reason, man, in this neighborhood, fucking things go fucking missing. AKA stolen.
Yep.
Let's see, my aunt fucking had like her fucking gas can on her porch one time, along with her fucking lawnmower outside. And yeah, lawnmower and gas can gone.
Well, somebody was going to cut grass.
Let's see, we left the rake outside one time. Rake was gone.
Who the fuck steals a rake?
Don't know, but all I know is we were missing a rake.
Wow.
So.
Well, at least they're stealing yard tools. Well, I mean,
yeah.
It is a Mexican neighborhood, right? I'm starting to see a pattern here. Mexican.
So yeah,
stealing,
so now
lawnmowers,
we...
rakes. Probably stole some shovels, some hedge clippers.
Yeah, this is why we keep all that. Oh, this is why we keep all that inside now, mainly in the basement.
All they're doing is taking it for yard work.
Yeah. And not bringing it back to us. So it's like a permanent yard work.
I mean, if that was the case around here, man, the lady that lives down the street that always has her lawnmower out in her yard, man, I mean, that would be gone by now. But it's been out there for, you know, for years now. You know, nobody fucks with it.
Yeah. Just come here. They'll take your shit quick. It is sad that I almost... Is it sad that I almost cried when Brian died? Bad. Listen, Luna.
I thought you were. I thought you were really saying that you were almost crying.
No, but apparently fucking
little bitch.
But apparently Luna's sad about it.
Luna.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? She's even posting about it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I should post something up there like, why is everyone so sad about fucking Brian? You realize he's just
like
a cartoon.
That was like his girl, man. She posted up a status that says hashtag Solo. I was like, Han Solo? Fucking everywhere tonight, man. I've been leaving some type of Star Wars comment.
But what would be perfect for, like, when Brian died as a Star Wars fucking thing?
I don't fucking know.
The Force is gone with this one.
Something like it. where I saw the picture, that's the default on Shelby's page or something. And I was like, excuse me, your booty is showing Bumblebee Tuna. And then you got angry pussy Vanessa, man, showing up but doesn't tune in.
Yeah, that's definitely one angry pussy. I mean, come on, but, like, seriously, these people are all fucking sad and pissed off about a fucking cartoon character dying. Come on. It's a cartoon. They can just bring them back easily.
But back to that status, man, the chick was like, no, not having a boyfriend or whatever she said. And then I put hashtags, man. I put hashtag, oh, that's lame, hashtag, okay it is. Oh, Yoda.
Oh, people who fucking get obsessed over the cartoon characters dying.
I mean, that shit just happened Monday or whatever, apparently. You know, shit's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's a cartoon. They can just bring it back.
Well, that would just be stupid.
Oh, yeah, but still, I mean, come on, man.
I'm saying they gotta keep up with The Simpsons, you know. The lady died in real life, so they killed off her character in The Simpsons. So now Family Guy had to kill somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, my sister was like, yeah, did you hear that Brian died? I heard that Michael Vick did it. I was like, wow, somebody really said that. But do you know how he died, though?
Apparently, he was killed in a hit and run.
Yeah, he got ran over. Typical dog death.
Yeah, that's what it is right here. It fucking says, Brian is hit by a car and later succumbs to his injuries. Brian is, however, confirmed to appear in future episodes.
Why would they say that? That's stupid.
Man, why the fuck would they kill him just to bring him back?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But what's even funny is the fact that, you know, again, everyone can fucking say it,
why couldn't like why couldn't they kill Meg and shit?
Yeah. Like we all wish it was Meg.
Yeah. Fucking bestiality bitch. Yes, I said bestiality, bitch.
Oh, yeah? Is that what you like?
No, that's what Meg likes. Because of the fact, you know, she was having sex with fucking Brian. So, yeah, that's just disturbing. Yo, I should fucking post this up for people. Be like, just to bring back memories for them. They don't know. Brian's not dead. They're bringing him back.
Go ahead.
What do these dumbasses say about that?
So did you enjoy my video I tagged you in of Fuck Swag?
I didn't even watch it yet, man. I've been at work all day.
Man, this was fucking yesterday or something.
I haven't even checked it out yet.
Because Rich had a nice chant going on, man. It was Fuck Swag, you know?
Hell yeah.
And then it was just funny, man, because in between some songs and shit, he would just be talking about whack shit on the radio and shit. Now it sucks. All that stuff like that. And it was funny, his chick in the front, man, she kept trying to pull his pants down.
The fuck?
And he was like, will you please stop trying to pull my fucking pants down or whatever the hell he said.
Oh, man. Did you get to ask him about Juggalo Rider Radio?
Man, I didn't get to ask anybody anything, man. They were nowhere to be found, like, the whole night and shit, because they were busy for some reason doing meet and greet type things or something throughout the show and then after the show. Not exactly sure how that worked, but apparently you have to have a ticket or some shit.
Damn.
So none of them were around and shit, you know what I mean, to even ask anything.
There, I posted up saying, why is everyone so sad that Brian the dog died? LOL, he's a cartoon, plus they're bringing him back. Anyways, so get over it.
Jeez. You sound like an asshole.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
But nah, man, that show though, man, like they had way too many openers. Too many.
But I don't doubt it.
The fucking main acts didn't get on until like after 9 o'clock and shit.
That sounds like that. So exactly how many openers did they have?
I have no idea. A lot. The show started at 6:30. I didn't get there until after 7. And they were still at local acts. And they were still going. I'm like, God damn. I saw that one person perform that, what's his face, Trey was listening to one day. That Fatty L girl.
Oh, yeah. Is she good?
Is she like somebody famous or something? She been around for a while or something? Like, what the fuck? Because all I know is she performs with the dude that that I don't like and he don't like me.
The tampon?
The tampon? No.
Okay,
no. No. It's a black guy.
Oh.
That happens to have the same name as I do. Fucking bastard. But anyway.
Wait, so he's Ghetto G too?
Nigga, no, man. I'm talking my real name.
How the fuck do you even spell her name? Fatty L? Like Phatty?
Wow, there you go. You're pretty clever.
Phatty.
And then the L. I think it's funny, though, man. The first song that they performed, the beat came on, I was like, I got this fucking beat. I was like, really?
Well, apparently she doesn't exist. Because all I got so far was Moog, Little Fatty, Fatty Cakes 3D, Let's Party for Patty, Patty with live music.
The fuck?
Yeah, I typed in Fatty and I get Patty.
Who the fuck is Patty?
I have no idea.
Alrighty then.
Maybe I should try fucking Reverb.
Yeah, that'll probably work better.
Yeah, because I won't have to worry about no fucking patties popping
up. What the hell did you try?
I put Fatty O.
On where?
Facebook.
Oh. You should try like YouTube or something.
It was
a dope ass show. I just didn't like the fact that points they tried to make it like a Juggalo show.
Well, yeah.
When pretty much like half the crowd or whatnot has no idea what the fuck that is, or even listens to that.
Oh, man.
Although whenever Ritz was chanting out fuck swag, man, I'm sure he heard a couple people's feelings that were there.
Oh, well.
All these fucking skinny jean wearing niggas.
Let me find that video.
There's another thing, man. Why is it all the girls that listen to Snow to Product look exactly like her?
Because they want to be looking like her.
Like they all dress exactly how she does and shit. I'm like, I thought I saw her at least a few times, but it wasn't her until she came on stage. I was like, well, you know, clearly that wasn't her. But yeah, man, she didn't even do that long of a set though, which was kind of disappointing.
Man, I think what's funny is the fact that on that fucking picture, that fucking, that we were tagged in by Captain Howdy, Carl Hendricks, whatever the fuck.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
I don't either. But apparently, what's her face? Destiny's the one who fucking tagged us in it.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
But that was your point. But what's funny is, like, your fucking comment. Oh my god, look at all these Juggalos and Lets on here. LOL, whoop whoop.
Well, you don't like my comment?
Man, I'm surprised you didn't get any likes. Well, you got like maybe. You got like 4 likes for that comment.
Yeah, well, I posted something else on there. I was like this comment if you're blocked from adding people.
Yeah, you had like 4 people.
Then I told people to add me. And I only got like 1 ad off of that, and it was some fucking guy. that was like fighting with that one chick on there, like, you're not fam or something. Like, what the fuck? Why is she tagged here then?
Here we go. Fucking Brenda Loon goes, hey, fam, add me. I'm blocked. Jonathan Joe goes, whoop, whoop, and nope to Brenda. You ain't fam. Don't tag me in comments. I'm going to get rich, though, and you going starting shit with my homie.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I have no clue. And what's funny is the fact that, you know, he goes, don't tag me in comments, but you were already here.
You were tagged in the picture, though, man. You'd see it anyways.
I should be like, Jonathan, you ain't a fan, motherfucker.
Jeez, man, relax. Why you gotta go and pick fights with everybody, Havoc?
Why not?
You cyber thug.
There you go. Look better on YouTube.
It's really not that important to find her, though.
Oh, look, I made a new friend. Hey.
Who?
Yeah, she looks okay.
Who's a new friend?
Brittany Oldman. Or Old Hen. Old Ham.
Okay. Old Ham.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
That's your last name, Old Ham.
Old Ham.
Well, I basically wonder if she's even a juggalo or should say juggalette.
Or maybe a female juggalo.
How many juggalos do you know that, you know, voluntarily work at Aeropostale or fucking Hollister?
That Flynn girl.
And the fact that she just fucking, that this little chick, Brittany Oldham, graduated middle school back in 2000.
2000 what?
11.
You got out of middle school?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah, graduated from Madison Middle School in 2011.
Jeez. She's young as fuck.
Yeah, and the fact that she says, and it's funny, 2012, started working at Hollister. Bitch, you a little bit too young to be working at Hollister.
I thought you were asking me what juggalettes would be working at there. That's what I thought the question was.
Oh yeah, that's what I asked.
I know a few people that would be working there because they sport the clothing.
I don't even know about this chick.
She's too young for you, bro.
She's too young for everybody.
That's like that one girl, man, talking about she's single and she wants people to hit her up and shit. but you know, she's underage, so that's not going to work out for anybody.
Hell no.
Like, it's one dude in all Juggalo's chat tries to hit her up, man. You know, he tries hitting everybody up, but that didn't work out too well for him. He was like, we could talk about how you're single, and we could talk about my married life. What the fuck? Like, yeah, that makes somebody want to talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's do or die time right now, 1 o'clock.
Oh, 101.
Oh, we made it. We survived the apocalypse.
Yes, we survived the apocalypse, according to Giddle G.
That's right.
I need to put this thing back in full screen mode.
What?
Wow, Ben, like, I didn't even realize that that fucking browsers came with fucking full screen mode. If I knew this, I would put it in easier. But, yeah. So now I've got Firefox in full screen mode, which means everything's hidden.
Oh, that's gay.
Which is fine by me.
No.
You know what? I'm going to steal this picture.
What picture?
Tag a girl with the best ass.
Have a girl with the best eyes.
Yeah, let's see here. I think, man, that'd probably be a shitload of fucking chicks on my page. Because there are definitely quite a few with some nice ass, fucking nice asses.
Man, who are you kidding, man? The bitches on your page all have big boobs. They ain't got no asses.
Oh, I mean, just Victoria. She's got big tits on his ass.
Oh yeah, how often do you see your ass?
Then you got fucking Ducky.
Oh yeah, you still drooling all over her, even though she got a boyfriend.
Oh well.
Although she did share your picture of your 50 cent ring. I mean, your expensive green lantern, red lantern, multicolored lantern ring.
Yep.
Man, that ring looks cheap as fuck, though, man. Like, what the hell?
That's okay,
like,
man.
It's okay, what?
Because I'm going to be purchasing a Superman ring soon.
Oh, my God.
And no, Superman ring is definitely not 50 cents.
I'm going to go to the 50 cent machine and buy me some rings, too.
Oh, they don't really have stainless steel rings in
Be like, look, Havoc, these rings got powers in them.
But if that ring had any powers in it, shit, man, I'd be wearing it every day and fucking killing motherfuckers with it.
Did you just say you would be winning every day?
No, I'd be wearing it every day.
I was about to say, winning what?
Let's see. We got,
So do you wear that ring to work?
I thought about it one time, but no.
you should wear it all the time, man. People will think you're the Red Lantern or whatever the fuck it is.
Ah, here we go. Now here's a badass fucking ring. I'm gonna add to my wish list and get. It's a U2U high quality classic stainless steel ring with
the logo for Batman, and in the middle of the bat, it's got the Superman symbol. You know, I'm just going to go with a random size because I don't even know what size my fucking fingers are.
Well, you might want to find out.
Yeah, soon enough.
Soon enough.
Yep.
Meaning never.
No, I'll find out soon enough, but, nah, right now it's just not that important.
I don't think it'll ever be important.
There we go, fucking Superman, fucking charms. I'll definitely brought these charms fucking to work and shit.
So you see that video of Echo Endless performing as the Red She-Hulk singing a Ric Flair song?
I have not seen that yet.
I don't think it can get any more crazier than that.
Probably not. Now I have to go through this fucking Brittany Oldham's fucking music.
Why the hell are you looking at the Oldham?
Well, I'm looking at her music now, and she's going to go bye-bye. Even though I just added her, she's going bye-bye.
I realized that one girl deleted me off my page, and I was like, that's all right. That girl liked Lil Wayne anyways.
Yeah, well, this bitch right here fucking like French Montana, Big Sean, Wiz Khalifa, and she's got pictures of fucking, what's her face, Nicki Minaj. So, yeah, she's gonna go bye-bye.
Yeah, she pretty much loses.
Yep. So, goodbye there, old ham.
You have expired.
Yes. Yes. You are 10 years past your expiration date.
Damn. That is an old ham.
Yep. And you got this, let's see, instrumental, what? Butterface.
Butterface! Ugly bitch.
She got some big titties. But, let's see here. Music. Good music, that's about it. But she's still getting edited.
Hold on.
See, that's your girl. Such an original name.
I love it when people got their family on their list and then they hit them up like, what's wrong? When they're sad and shit. And then they're just like, mind your own business.
Yeah, that happened. Hey, look, Machine Gun Kelly, this bitch ain't ever getting added. She looked good. But
She ain't never getting out of it because of the fact she's the only one on her, the only music, on her music is Machine Gun Kelly.
That's all she listens to. Crap.
She fails. Like, I don't understand. How is it all these people can fucking listen to nothing but crap?
I have no idea.
It's just so weird.
That's what Rich was talking about, too, when he was talking on stage. It's like I turned on the radio, and most of that shit was whack. And then he was just singing to the beat of that Switching Lanes song or whatever. He's talking about blah, blah, blah. This is wacky shit. It's funny as hell. He was just hating on the radio, saying fuck swag, all this shit. It's funny as hell.
I definitely agree. Yeah, I was smart, man. I fucking untagged myself from that fucking Captain Howdy crap. I mean, hey, it's a dope pick, but, yeah, I don't need your niggas fucking blowing up my fucking Facebook or my fucking iPod.
Havoc, you're up the bat, man. You can go to all Juggalo's chat and you can answer this man's question. Does Eminem and ICP still have beef?
And someone already answered that question. That motherfucker.
You know, I'm just saying, you like to see comments like that, so go talk to them.
Yeah, I don't like talking to them.
Well, you're no fucking fun. How do you reach a limit on your Twitter?
I don't know. But apparently, fucking, the Eminem beef was all about fucking Twisted doing a track for Proof, apparently.
Oh, yeah? So that didn't happen a long time until after that shit was started.
Exactly. No, because fucking someone go, let's see. LOL, Eminem started the shit, I heard, but what started their beef? Jeremy goes, it has something to do with Twisted doing that track or Proof.
Wouldn't that have been when they were ending the beef?
Yeah.
Oh, children.
The fact that y'all think it's got to do with fucking...
There you go. I'm going to do what this chick did right here. I'm going to get like a book tattooed on my leg. Like, looks like a... fucking story all down her leg. A lot of people get random words like it. It's weird. Whole page. Thank you.
La 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 la.
And I'm just going through all these damn fucking things. Like all these comments. Here we go, fucking people up in all the little chat. Rate me, fam, 1 to 10.
0.
Nada, nigga. Damien Chittum goes, put most of a picture up. Say, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my motherfucking nigga. Dude, fucking retarded. Because fucking that dude didn't even fucking put that shit. He responds in, it's weird. You chose racism for the theme of this picture instead of anything else. Damien responds saying, he was the one that wanted me to take it. He goes, I was talking about the name of the post. Damien responds, he's my nigga. Wait, hold on. Let me rephrase what I'm trying to say. Okay, Alan goes, my. Put a fucking picture of fucking Mr. Rogers saying, my neighbor.
I just think it's funny how
fucking Alan just fucking automatically jumps this in. It's weird you chose racism. Where in there do you see racism? I mean, he's calling him his nigga. So, hey fam, we got a new juggler as of today. Welcome my baby girl, Jordan Corey. I think it's funny how people just jump in thinking that they could just automatically be a juggalo or a juggalette.
What? That's not how it works?
Come on. Really?
Explain it to us, Havoc.
We got a new juggalette as of today. So, all of a sudden, she just decides to become a juggler today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really?
Yes.
How old is this bitch? Let's find out. Well, we don't know. Because her shit's at the private. I don't think I... Apparently she's in high school.
Of course she is. Damn children.
Yep. Someone decides, all of a sudden, be a juggler as of today.
Havoc, why are you so full of anger?
Because, fucking, people treat this shit like it's a fucking clique or a gang. Saying, I'm going to be a juggler or a juggler today.
You know, I didn't give a fuck about them, you know, last year, you know, at the start of the whole shit, but, you know, I'm going to become one today. I'm just gonna have to be a juggalo or a juggalette.
Yep.
Come on, people are fucking retarded.
They gotta try to fit in, man. Don't you know?
Oh yeah. What? I mean, come on. What the fuck is this? Like a fucking after school program? Oh, I'm gonna join. I'm gonna fit in perfectly with everybody. Fuck out of here. Shove that shit up your ass.
Jeez. It's so angry.
I mean, come on, man. Like, you know it's true. Fucking. I mean, come on.
So many of these motherfuckers used to hate on us. And now all of a sudden, they want to be us.
Yeah, well, it's really not worth getting upset about anymore.
This is true.
It's been going on for so long, it's just like, what the fuck ever.
She draws her eyebrows on. And she has 3 kids. Yep. Nope. Not ever happening. You got a big old honker. 3 kids. Really bad eyebrows. Ah, you're a keeper, bitch. And this is the fact, you know, you chose to use the words looking for my ride or die low. Yeah.
Is that not you?
No, I'm not her ride or die low. You know, that actually looks pretty good. Someone fucking posted up a picture of a Twinkie with a hot dog with and fucking easy cheese on the hot dog.
Of course you would like that.
Hell yeah.
You might be a fat ass when...
Do it! Jump!
Why the hell are you telling him to jump?
Oh man, you know, it's in effect, you know, he is the one who said, and yes, I know it's from Fawn, but still. Harvey Lee goes, is it too soon to kill myself, fam?
No.
No, it's definitely not too soon. Go have fun.
I give you permission to die now.
Well, unfortunately, Andrea decided to fucking take that away from him. He had to be the voice of reasoning. Didn't you, there, bitch? You had to save him. Well, you can't save everyone.
Drop kicked the bitch in her second trimester. Dumb pregnant bitch.
Yep.
I'm gonna go pass the fuck out.
Oh wow, you're exciting.
Back tomorrow night.
Wonderful. Goodbye.